Jeremiah Love, the Notre Dame running back, is going three, as we just talked about it, the possibility with Bidwell, ownership, and some other people in the building. If not, I think Tennessee's very much back in play. I think a lot of the noise that, started to come out was with Sonny Styles, edge rushers. And listen, I know there are people in the building that want edge rusher. And if Jeremiah Love goes three, I think it could be Sonny Styles there at four. Okay? So it's not like, not everything is misinformation, but the context of it is hard to get because there are people in the organization that may be talking to other people or people who know somebody saying, well, they like Reese. And they do. There are people who do. And they like, and we all do. And they like Sonny Styles, and they do. And I think they like him more than other teams because of that Fred Warner position. But I think Jeremiah Love my understanding is, could rule the day, and understandably so. I think pairing him up with Cam Ward would be the right thing to do.
To another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live. Our last show before the 2026 NFL draft is underway. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Sized, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, the Yada Yada King, and the busiest man in football this time of year, Justin Mello. How you doing? Are you pumped for draft day?
I am pumped for draft day. I'm feeling very, I always feel very reflective on a day like today. I've got one interview to type out left on my recorder. I've got one.
Wow.
And I wanted them all published by today. I had to extend to Friday and Saturday because of how many I had, but I've got one left. Everyone will be published before they get drafted, very strategic. Tomorrow I've got some likely day two guys. Today I got a bunch of first rounders. Saturday I got some day three guys. They'll all publish, but I always want to shed a tear. I'm always so stressed when I go through the process. And then I get to that final one and I get reflective. And I went and I looked at the tracker I've got. I joined NFL Draft on SI in mid-February. Mid-February, we're going to end at about 120 interviews on SI. And I probably got 30 or 40 I did for Draft Network before I switched companies. So feeling really good, excited for tonight. And you got to hit the thing, because I don't think you've done a soundbite yet for it, but you got to hit the thing.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Wampu 5. With a very strategic, in my opinion, very intentional $4 super chat tip with the Titans picking at number four, leaving a message. No interpretation needed, no matter what. We know exactly what you mean, Wampu. It's the sign behind Justin Graver right now. Jeremiah Love, no matter what, $4 super chat tip. We love it.
We love it. Thanks, everyone, for joining us here today. It's going to be our last little hangout talk. We'll share our final thoughts ahead of the start of the NFL draft. And I'll just tell you guys what I'm thinking, broad strokes right now, and then we'll break it down. I think there's four ways the Titans pick could end up going. And I think it's all determined by whether or not Jeremiah Love goes three. If the Cardinals decide they don't like the trade offers that are coming in, they're not getting what they're asking for, or nobody's calling, and they do stick and pick Jeremiah Love, I think that dramatically increases the odds of a Titans trade out. I do think that Bailey or Reese going two has some impact on this. I think Reese, from everything that everyone's saying at least, is the more desirable player, the more likely player that would motivate somebody to trade up. So if you're rooting for a trade back or Jeremiah Love, I think you should be rooting for number two to be David Bailey. And then secondly, if Jeremiah Love is the pick at three, the Titans either trade out a four or they take the edge that's still there. If that edge goes three, whether it's because the Cardinals stick and pick that player or they trade out of that pick for somebody to come get the edge, then I think the Titans go Jeremiah Love at four. I do not think, based on what we've heard, Justin, this could be incorrect. It could be intentionally misleading the person who told us this, which, you know, indirectly intentionally misleads us. I don't think Sonny Styles is really in play at four. I definitely think he's in play if the Titans trade down, along with the receiver options that we heard, along with even the guard tackles slash just the guard in the Penn State Vega Ione, or the guard tackles in Maui Noah and Fano. One of those guys could be in play if the Titans trade down. But if they stick and pick at four, I think it's because Love is there and they take him, or one of the edge rushers is there and Love is not and they take the edge. That's where we're at as we head into the final hours of speculation. I really think it's Jeremiah Love, edge, or trade down from pick four.
I am going to tell you what I think, but I think first you got to hit a bunch of things because...
Oh my goodness,
you
got to
hit it four times? Or do you, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll hit it four times. I mean, that's the thing we told everyone we would do that, right?
Oh my
goodness
gracious.
We'll go through them
gracious.
One by one. Let me just hit them, Justin, and get the sound out of the way. Oh my goodness gracious. There we go. Oh my goodness gracious. Yes, we love it. We love it. I did not add hit the thing yet to it. As you can see, Justin's still saying hit the thing, so I haven't had a chance to do it.
Now you got to go back to the first one so we could... Jesse Jones, 199 super chat tip. Smokescreen season works. Styles is plus 145. The new betting favorite. Here's one thing we don't acknowledge on here enough.
Well, like, he's not the betting favorite. He is plus 145.
Oh, sorry. Now plus 145 odds, but not the favorite. Here's one thing we don't acknowledge enough. You know, people placing bets also move markets too. So it doesn't mean that anyone knows anything. More money started going on Sonny Styles, so the odds came down, if you will. So that I'm not worried about that personally. Put the next one on the screen. Gary Soto with his daily $50 contribution. Thank you so much, Gary, for your generosity. It's unbelievable. We're going live again tonight, Gary. Maybe you should have done 25 this morning and 25 tonight. But I'm kidding, of course. Your generosity is so appreciated. Gary says, are y'all prepping today by watching draft day? I hope I don't disappoint you, Gary, and I hope I don't make your generosity go away. I've never seen draft day. I've never seen it, and I won't lie to you. I probably would think it's bad. I don't have
Yeah, but that's part of the fun.
Sure. Yeah, and listen, I could still watch it and think it's bad and probably enjoy it and laugh at it, but I've never felt like I've got to see this movie. I'm going to say something else that might not be popular. Kevin Costner's face bothers me. I don't know why. I don't love Kevin. I do not like Kevin.
Is it because he looks like Mike Mularkey?
Something about Kevin Costner, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
Chris Lawrence, 444 for 4. Thank you,
Chris.
Shout out
to Chris Lawrence. Jeremiah Love, the fourth overall pick. Jeremiah Love wears jersey number 4. Jay-Z's got an album named 444. Whatever it is we're doing here, I'm in favor of it. Chris, we miss you. We're glad we see you here every day.
Oh my goodness gracious. Hadn't hit it yet for this one. William Fortner with the $10 tip. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, William. If the Titans trade with the Cowboys, would you be tempted to draft Proctor for the left tackle of the future? I get the hype around Proctor. Personally, no. I wouldn't want to do that at 12.
No.
Obviously, it depends on who's still on the board there. I don't think Proctor's going to be there at 20. Proctor has, you know, a lot of incredible traits, mammoth size, movement ability, super inconsistent as a player on the field. And for me personally, you got to maximize these picks. And that one, it could work out incredibly well.
He scares me.
But it could be a massive risk bust that I would rather avoid the risk on. And that's one of the reasons I love Jeremiah Love, is I think your risk there is as low as it gets for any player in this entire draft class. Justin, before we get to some of our thoughts...
I don't think we put this one on screen. You hit the thing, but I don't think you put it on screen.
Okay, my bad. An angry fetus. Another draft, another attempt at overcoming past trauma. Oof. Yes, the life of the Titans.
Isaiah Wilson's and Caleb Farley's. We're going to leave them in the past. Thank you so much, Angry Fetus, for the super chat tip.
I'm going to run through a few more comments that came in, and Justin, and then we'll get to what we were planning to do today. Iron Grid says, just laying in bed last night on a gummy bear. Nice. Thinking about the draft, and all of a sudden, I am overwhelmed with visions I can't put into words. All I can say is it's Jeremiah Love, no matter what.
Bears gave you visions. That's interesting. Is that a special bear, Iron Grids? A special gummy bear that visited you?
legitimately a very crazy feeling. He says, I don't know what I started. I don't know what I have unleashed into the world. I feel like, you know, Stranger Things, they like open the portal and it comes into, I feel like I was the portal for this clairvoyance amongst Titans fans, because Atlas says, happy Jeremiah Love Day to all who celebrate, except Mike Borgonzi, who will follow in the footsteps of previous disaster first round picks and take a kicker at four. Don't believe that. But Hayden Fiedler, I had a dream like Gravers last night, although mine was not induced by any of the devil's lettuce, that we traded up to 3 for Love. Wow. Atlas, I dreamed the Titans traded back to 9. Then the Ravens traded up to 8 for Love to have the most unfair 1-2 running back punch in the league. We pray
you
that
sure
that
you weren't on anything when you dreamed happen. Up that one, Atlas? I think that one had to have been influenced by something.
It is pretty funny to me that we're all getting the dream. The dreams are just nobody's asking for this. Maybe we're all just thinking about the draft too much, but our subconscious is telling us. Oh my goodness gracious.
It's a thing.
EG Elite 123 with a $20 super chat. Thank you so much for all you guys supporting us here today, supporting us as we cover the draft for you. EG says, my wife calls you guys Justin and the angry one when she hears me watching y'all. I'll let you guys figure out which one is which. Looking forward to draft night. I could see that applying to either of us, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I'm the angry one, am I? I'm such a happy person.
Iron Grid's responding to you, Justin. Yes, Mello, it's the best gummy bear. Didn't taste the greatest, though.
So, I've been there. I had one at a cottage a couple months ago that knocked me on my butt for 3 hours.
I do think, according to Rumham, that my psychic abilities need to be studied if we take Love. I will submit myself to the world of science if that.
I think. I mean, you had the ward. You were early on ward last year, so.
Yeah, and I want to say I was the earliest to really commit to Jeremiah Love at four
probably.
This year. But yeah,
we've had. Read this comment from JP, or did you? I missed it, and then I'm gonna respond.
Yeah, no, I'm just flashing some wallpaper.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna read all.
I'm still like, we got derailed by a bunch of super chat tips, which we appreciate. We love getting derailed by super chat tips, but I'm gonna respond to what you said at the top. I haven't forgotten. I think you nailed those four possibilities, right? Like, those are the only four things that could happen tonight. I mean, because you covered the trade down as well. I'm sticking with my prediction, and I dropped a final mock draft last night, this morning, on NFL Draft on SI that we submitted to the Huddle Report and all that. I am predicting that someone's going to trade up to number 3 for a pass rush, whether it's David Bailey or Arvell Reese, whoever doesn't go number 2 to the Chiefs, number 2 to the Jets, and is available at 3, I think the Chiefs or the Saints are going to trade up to number 3 for the pass rusher, and I think the Titans are going to take Jeremiah Love. Like, that's my official prediction of how this is going to go. If the Cardinals stay at 3, no one's trading up to 3 for Love. If the Cardinals stay at 3 and take Love, really interesting to see what the Titans would do then. Do they take an edge rusher that fell to them at 4, or do they trade down because someone offers them the moon and the stars for that pass rusher because they didn't think they were going to be there? I still think edge is a really big need for the Titans. I think it's a premium position. Even though we don't love David Bailey, we think they might really like him. He fits the defense. We love Arvell Reese, so I think that they should do that at 4 if he's there. I'd be fascinated to see what the Titans would do. Like, would they take the edge rusher premium position, or would they accept one of the trade offers, assuming they'd have a really good one for one of those edges? I'll say this. I think one of the scenarios that Mick Shea pointed out to me that would disappoint me the most, okay? If Jeremiah Love went number 3 to the Cardinals, you know what I'm getting at.
And I didn't, because I thought you were going to say something else. So go
okay.
ahead, and then I'll tell you what
disappoint
would disappoint
me the most. It, but like, from the Titans' perspective, out of everything I can think of that could realistically happen, if the Cardinals took Jeremiah Love at 3 and the Titans took Styles at 4 ahead of a potential trade down or just the edge rusher that's there, that would be wild to me. Taking the linebacker ahead of the edge or the trade down for that falling edge, I don't, that's one that I'd have a really hard time getting on board with and grasping.
I agree. I'm not even allowing myself to like worry about that possibility.
He said that in the intro that you played, didn't he?
He said Styles is on the table, but I mean, look, you and I, I'm putting a lot of faith in what I've been told, and I don't know if it's going to end up being accurate, but I do trust it. And what I've been told is that it's not Styles at four.
We've had like multiple local sources say that.
Say it, report it out loud, yes. And then you and I, between closed doors,
have had some in the building.
Right, and we've had some conversations too that lead it. Like I have had multiple people tell me that from what they've heard that it's not going to. Multiple people, okay, and now maybe it's
crazy,
the same person.
Though, there's no way. I'm sorry, but there's no way all these national pundits jumped on it without hearing it from someone too, right? Like
I think they jump on what they when they report that the Titans like Styles, they don't know if it's true or not. They got the info, they're going to share the info as if it's true. That doesn't mean it's, they could be doing their guy a favor by getting that information out there. They like reputation about being right about this stuff. There's no receipts. Nobody cares. Nobody looks back and says, McShay's the one who told us all, or maybe it was Matt Miller. See, I don't even remember, which is my point. Told us all that O.J. Howard was going to be the pick at five the year the Titans drafted Corey Davis. I still remember that somebody said that, but I don't remember which guy it was now. So that's my point. Nobody's holding these guys accountable for reporting misinformation or smokescreen information this time of year right now. That stuff gets lost in the sauce, so these guys are going to run with it. All I know is that I don't believe it. It doesn't make logical sense to me for all the reasons we've explained over the last few episodes about the linebacker depth in this class, the impact of the position overall on the field, the non-premium position part. But if you're going to take a non-premium position, why take the one that's not going to help your quarterback? Sala's history with linebackers drafted after the first round. All of the logical signs point me away from Styles. And then we have legitimate information that we have been told it is not Styles at four, over an edge or over Love. And there's only like one of those two edges or Love is going to be there. There's only three picks and one of them is Mendoza. So therefore it's not going to be Styles. I'll tell you the situation that would disappoint me the most. And that's if they take, so let's say the Cardinals can't get their trade partner and they end up sticking and picking the guy that they really want, that they don't see as a good value at pick three, that they would target if they traded to 8 or 9 or 12, Francis Malinoa. Let's say they take him at three and they leave the Titans to decide between Arvell Reese and Jeremiah Love. A, that would be the most interesting outcome. B, I think that if I said that taking Love at three, if the Cardinals take Love at three, dramatically increases the Titans' trade down odds, Reese and Love both being there exponentially increases the Titans' trade down odds. But let's say they don't move off the pick, and they have to decide between Reese and Love. If they don't take Love when he's on the board, I'll be disappointed, but I'll also understand positionally why they make the decision they make. Justin, we have some super chats. We're getting falling behind.
You gotta
hit it.
Hit
here.
Not once, not twice, not three, four times.
I know. These people are crazy. We appreciate you guys more than you know. Oh my goodness gracious. Rocky Top Titan. I want trade back, but I need the draft now. Too many mocks. I agree. We are inundated with mocks. Trade back is a good option, and you are right to root for it. I'm personally rooting for Jeremiah Love over everything. Over Arvell Reese, over the trade down. And I will do that while acknowledging that it is not the best team building strategy. I'll acknowledge that and agree with it and say I still want the running back, because whatever you give up in salary, whatever allocated space and surplus value and all these super in-depth analytical team building roster construction philosophies, I get all of it. And I get that you should take the swing on the edge, because if he does hit, you save way more money, etc. But Love just does something for the team. Superstar power, that ability to help Cam Ward create explosives on the offense. Robert Mays did a podcast with Bill Barnwell this week that was really good, just about it was an hour and 20 minute discussion about the value of running backs and if you can justify taking them in the top five. They went back and forth. They shared all the arguments that both sides continue to echo, and they just broke down each one and said, is this really true? And the thing that they concluded was, it's probably not the best allocation of resources, but in 2026, the running game, being able to generate explosives in the running game, is the most critical aspect to keeping your offense good. And Jeremiah Love's ability to generate explosives is unmatched. And I think that's why, ultimately, it does make sense. Do you want to respond to that? I know you do. We have more chats to hit, super chats to hit, but I'll let you go first.
No, I want to hit these super chat tips, to be honest with you. Thank you so much, Rocky Top Titans X, for the super chat tip. Hit the thing.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's all JP Adams wanted to hear. I just want to hear the, oh my goodness, as he comes through with a very generous $4.99 super chat tip. Thank you so much, JP. And
oh my goodness gracious.
DQ Productions with the $4.99 super chat tip. Do you think the Colts or Jags try to trade back into the first? What do you think the Texans will draft? DQ, thanks for the tip, and I'm happy to answer this question in a little AFC South roundup. I don't think the Colts or Jags try to get back into the first, but what's interesting is I could see one trying to trade up in front of the other during the second round. I mean, you never know, but I think their two biggest needs are both linebacker, and you're going to get a run of linebackers in the second round. Maybe Jacob Rodriguez, maybe CJ Allen, Anthony Hill, Jake Golday. Be really interested to see what those two teams do in the second round. I think Houston, I think they go D-tackle like Caden McDonald, or I think they go O-lineman. Like either one, interior or tackle. I have them going Caleb Lamu, the Utah offensive tackle, in my latest first-round mock.
I do think the Jags try to get into the first round. I heard, now take for this what you will.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I have no idea how accurate this information is, but I ran with it in my final mock draft. I have the Jags trading back into the first round to pick 32. We all know the Seahawks want to move back. They even said it at their pre-draft press conference. They only have four
picks
in this draft.
They've only got four picks, yeah.
They definitely want to move back. It makes sense for that to be a spot for somebody like the Jags to trade up to 32. I wouldn't have run with this if I didn't hear something because the Jags... But the Jags, it makes sense if you think about it. They lost Travis Etienne, I guess is how you're supposed to say his name now.
I'm never going to do that.
In free agency, they lost their starting running back. Their running back room right now is, I mean, unless you think Bashaul Tutin is a legitimate bell cow running back, their running back room is kind of scary hours right now. Jadarian Price, the drop off after him to the next guy. I mean, you can like Coleman and Washington, and maybe that's it. Emmett Johnson, maybe. You can like some of those guys, but still acknowledge the drop off from Love to RB2 is huge. What's... And then from Price to the rest of them is huge. What... I think the Jags, who have shown the willingness to be aggressive, move picks around, and go get a guy that they feel really, really special about. So I think the Jags come up to 32 to take Jadarian Price. It's in my final mock.
What's interesting there is the only running back room worse than Jacksonville's is Seattle's.
Fair.
So, right? Like Seattle trading that pick for a running back. That would be pretty interesting. I think you missed
one. Yes, I probably did. On the Colts, no. The Colts are not coming back into the first round, no. In my opinion. Now, yeah. I will say, if there is any team willing to trade 2027 picks, it's the Colts. Because Chris Ballard probably doesn't care much about 2027 picks. Because Chris Ballard, if he doesn't nail it this year, probably won't be the one using those 2027 picks.
And that for
the
5 years.
The Texans, there's been recent rumblings they want to trade up. I think if they come up, it's for, they think they're chasing one of the last 15 or so impact players that start maybe creeping into the 16, 17, 18 range. I think that if they don't pull off a trade up, I think the Texans are the most likely team to trade out of the back half of the first round for the Cardinals to come get Ty Simpson if they don't think
Bills
they can stick
too,
and pick.
Bills as well, I think.
Bills are another one. The difference to me is the Bills pick at 26 and then 91, and they have no picks in between. And so if the Bills are going to move back, if somebody wants to come back into that spot, the Bills' ability to balance out that trade by sending back a day two pick is really limited.
Would you send a day two pick back if you're Buffalo? If
it depends what you're getting and how far down you're moving.
But if they're only moving eight spots, 36?
If they're only moving to 34, which is where Arizona picks, that's eight spots. That might cost you your round three pick? And do the Bills, is it worth it to the Bills to move into the second if they have to give up the third? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if they move 91 and you get 60 back or 65.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I think the Texans are the most likely for multiple reasons. They have the right amount of picks to be able to like make the balance of the trade work out. And Lance Zierlein was on Heed the Call on Monday of this week. We taped it last Friday, actually. And when we got to the Texans pick, he just casually threw out there, I think the Texans trade back here. And the rumblings that they might want to trade up actually make me think it's even likelier that they trade back. They want to trade up because they're afraid they're going to miss out on a guy that they feel can actually be a come in and be an impact player. Well, if they don't trade up, then they will miss out on those guys. And they might be motivated to be like, let's just pick up another pick here and get out of this slot because nobody on the board is a good value for us here. So I think the Texans, if they don't trade out, it's either offensive line or I could see them being the Caleb Banks team or Caden McDonald or Peter Woods. But
you
I do
hit
think
the
that
thing
that,
three times.
All right, I'm getting long-winded on my answers here. I apologize. Oh, my goodness gracious. Andrew Bunting, love at four.
$2 super chat tip says, love at four or trade back and get Tate 1A, 1B. Andre, thank you for your generosity. Those are two good plans. I don't think I'd have an issue with any of those plans. And I don't think you hit it for Walmart Man either. I had that one on the
screen. Goodness gracious.
So go back to him after this. But Jesse Jones, 1471 with the very generous $4.99 super chat tip. I expect one of these players to be traded in a mid-round trade-up scenario. Who do you think is possible? Levis, Pollard, Ridley? Well, I don't think they're trading Ridley because they just restructured his contract. So that's not going to happen. I could see Levis getting traded this weekend. I could see Pollard getting traded this weekend if the Titans take Jeremiah Love at four. Though, like, I'm not going into this weekend expecting the Titans to trade any player, to be honest with you. But I could see Levis or Pollard. There's a world out there where that happens.
I kind of expect Levis to be traded on Saturday at some point. Maybe expect is strong, but
hit
if
it
I had
for
to pick
Walmart
one,
Man after, and then we got to hit one more.
And then we got to take a break. Walmart Man says, $5 super chat, thank you so much, says, happy love day. Definitely just trying to look busy at my desk because we don't work on draft day. Amen, brother. I don't have to work until tonight for my actual job, so I'm pretty sick.
This is.
Jones score, $2 super chat. Forget salary. Good running backs are found easier than outside linebacker. I disagree. I actually disagree. And I do think that the importance of hitting this pick matters. And to me,
your Jeremiah Love bias is getting in the way here. I want to let you finish. I'm sorry. But what he said is true. They're definitely found easier than pass rushers are. But go ahead.
I think, okay, let me qualify this. Good running backs, sure. But Jeremiah Love is not a good running back, at least as a prospect. We don't know what he's going to be in the league. But as a prospect, Jeremiah Love is an elite game changer. He is an explosive play machine. And here's what they don't tell you about the running back's production is dependent on the environment around them part. Yes, whatever happens the first 2 to 3 to 4 yards of the play, that's on the offensive line, usually, and the environment the running back's in. But what happens after that point? The ability to turn a well-blocked run from an 8-yard run into a 90-yard touchdown. 90 was extreme. 50-yard touchdown. Although Jeremiah Love has like 3 90-plus-yard touchdowns on his tape. So what happens after that point where the blocking is good or bad is on the running back. So explosive plays, 20-plus-yard plays. That's the running back. And this player does it better than anyone in the class and maybe better than all but like 3 to 5 guys who are currently in the league. That's the calling card, is the explosiveness. What an explosive play does for your offense cannot be understated. It can be worth 3 points. A 30-yard run can literally be worth 3 points. Now that the kicking game has been changing and the kickoff rules where you start with the ball changed, like, a 30-yard run can literally be worth 3 points. And a player who has the ability to take any play 30 to 50 to 60 to 80 yards on any given touch is more valuable than any other player. Further, outside linebackers, the last point about that is you only get those guys at the top of the draft. Even the second half of the first round of the draft doesn't produce running backs that change the game the way Jeremiah Love can. The Saquon Barkley's, Bijan Robinson's, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey's, those guys go in the top half of the first round, okay? End of story. on the outside linebacker front, it's similar. Top half of the first round guys are the best. No doubt about it. Free agency has changed, though. And you can still, obviously, you can get a Saquon Barkley or a Kenneth Walker in free agency now because it's happening and those things happen now than they didn't before. Those guys are usually better on their first contract because of the way the running back position ages. Whereas edge rushers, every single offseason, if your team is one edge rusher away, you can go get that guy in free agency. And maybe it's a veteran and you're only signing him to a 1 or 2 year deal, but you can get that guy. And if you can't get that guy in free agency and you're legitimately the one player piece away and it's that edge rusher, you can trade for him. Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson. These guys are becoming available. This year, the Steelers are probably going to trade Alex Highsmith because they have a surplus of guys. Khalil Mack got traded. Like that position, Von Miller signed with the Rams. They go win a Super Bowl. That position is the one where if it's your missing piece, you can find it outside of the draft. So that's a long spiel to say, if you want a guy like a Jeremiah Love, you actually do have to draft him in the top half of the first round. That's the only way to get him, unless you're signing him on his second contract, like Saquon Barkley. But even that is still pretty rare. I know Kenneth Walker hit the market. I would rather have Jeremiah Love than Kenneth Walker. Salaries could be equal, even though we've seen Ken Walker in the league for 4 years. I'd still rather take the prospect of Jeremiah Love. That's where I'm at with him. Oh my goodness gracious.
Rocky Top, $4.99, his second Super Chat tip of the day. Thank you so much, Rocky Top. We'll keep this one short. What do you think of Vrabel missing day three to go to counseling? Big deal or no? I think it's weird. Why day three? Why during the draft? Why not?
It is weird.
The Sunday after the draft, the Monday, the Tuesday. It just seems very strange, and I don't know what to make of it. I think it's really weird to miss the draft, especially day three with UDFAs and everything. What a strange decision. But thank you so much, Rocky Top.
Oh my goodness gracious.
You want to take this one, Graver?
Jeff Simmons versus Silverback Gorilla. Who wins? I ride or die with my guy, Jeff Simmons, baby.
Thank you so much, DQ Productions, for the $4.99 Super Chat tip. Very generous of you.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Bernie Burnham. That is a UK name, if I've heard one, with the £5 Super Chat tip. That's like $1 billion Canadian. I'm going to go get a Tesla. Off topic, but draft related, Bernie says, does anyone else hear Colin's Hood name and hear the French Robin Hood song from Shrek? No, just me. Fair enough. Yes, Bernie, just you. Speaking of Colton Hood, I just published an hour ago a really good interview with Colton Hood on NFL Draft SI that I haven't even tweeted yet. Excited to get that one out there. Head over there and read it. Bernie, you are alone on that, but we love you all the same. We've got one more, I think.
Oh my goodness gracious. Go for it, Justin.
Jarvis Thompson, B1I with the... I read that really easily, especially with the B1I. That almost threw me off. The $4.99 Super Chat tip from Jarvis. Very generous. Thank you so much. Titans have some great running backs. Never won a Super Bowl. The goal is to win a Super Bowl, draft an edge or wide receiver. They came pretty close, though, Jarvis. I don't know, like... Eddie George, like the thing on the goal line, Derrick Henry, AFC championship game. I don't think we have enough proof that edge rushers don't. They also didn't win a Super Bowl with Javon Kearse and Albert Haynesworth, and they haven't won one with Jeffrey Simmons, and they didn't win one with Randy Moss. Okay, that one's obviously a joke, but.
Can I go off on this comment really quick? And this is not at you, Jarvis.
Keep it shorter. I don't think you got to go off, but.
This is just on the idea that this argument gets thrown around all the time. It is baseless.
I think I know what you're going to say. I've heard you make this argument before.
It is a ridiculous thing to try to say because you could take any position and do this. Oh, the Browns drafted Myles Garrett. They never won a Super Bowl. The Raiders drafted Max Crosby in the fourth round. They got a steal. They never won a Super Bowl. Like, you could, the top edge rushers haven't won a Super Bowl. The top receivers haven't won a Super Bowl. The top running backs haven't won a Super Bowl. The top everything hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, they haven't won Super Bowls.
You know why they haven't won Super Bowls? Because the Super Bowl has been won by the same small group of teams over the last 25 years. The Patriots won six of them. Brady won seven of them. Mahomes has won three of them. The Eagles have won two of them. The Steelers won two of them. The Saints took one. The Packers took one. The Colts took one. The Broncos have won two of them. The Seahawks have won three of them. Like, that's the problem, is it's like eight teams have won the Super Bowl in the last 25 years. So, yeah, and none of those teams are picking in the top 10 because they were all good teams. It's the worst argument you can make because I can pick it apart from every single position in the league.
What There's a full circle people. Moment. Angry Justin. We know which one is the angry Justin. I'd like to think so. You know who I like better than angry Justin is Martin, Texas. Gracious. Hit the thing. Martin comes through with the $5 super chat tip. Then Chris Johnson, when you think love, not just some good running back. We agree in the vein that Jeremiah Love's an elite prospect. He's an elite running back. Chris Johnson was an elite running back. They're very different players, but you are right to say that he is elite.
Atlas has to lower his volume whenever someone disagrees with me. Sorry. I apologize. It's called passion. You can't rein that in. All right, Justin, we got to take a break. We're way passion. Overdue for a break. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back. We were going to go through the first round. We were going to share our final mocks and thoughts on every pick and just like get us through the first round, use that as an excuse to talk about pick 4, use the rest of it to talk about what could happen at pick 35. Scrap it. We're not doing that because we have too much to talk. We have too many. Here we go. EG Elite. I hate to break it to you guys, but my wife was actually referring to Mello as the angry one.
Well, I'm going to say this to your wife, EG Elite. I want you to, first of all, I want you to play Graver's rant on the screen for her. Ask her which one again is the angry one. And EG Elite, Mrs. EG Elite, I'm looking you right in the face right now and saying, you're a bad judge of character, okay? You're a bad judge of character because I am not the angry one. I'm very happy all of the time. In fact, I'm going to take this moment to say happy birthday to Drew Skoski, who turned 46 on Tuesday, the big 4-6. Happy birthday, Drew. We hope it brought you everything your heart desires, because I am a happy person. So happy that Graver's got to hit the thing again.
Hang on. I don't know what this is going to sound like, but this is in a response to you talking about EG's wife.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I hope that's how EG responded to me. Oh my God. That was one of the best moments we've ever had on here.
Oh my goodness gracious. I forgot if I had bleeped it already. I can't believe I have that ready to play.
What an outrageous thing to have ready. Almost as outrageous as Jarvis Thompson's generosity, following up Graver's rant with another $4.99 super chat tip. I understand, but the teams have won, have had a good quarterback receiver duel. We get it, Jarvis. And Titans, hopefully they've got that quarterback in Cam Ward. And we hope they could find a number one elite receiver soon.
Honestly, the receiver has not been super important. Now, I guess if you look at the last few years, you could argue it's been more important, like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill. But it hasn't been, like, there was a long debate where the Patriots were winning a bunch of Super Bowls without a star receiver, where people would say, do you actually need this kind of player? Yada yada, king is my king. Melo seems very angry. He's called out for being angry.
That's a very good point. Yada yada, king is my king. How many of you can have this many birthdays at once? Andre, my birthday was yesterday, the big 45. Happy birthday, Andre. I hope you had a nice ribeye steak to celebrate. Meanwhile, Rumham is showing you how much younger he is than you, because he follows up immediately and says that he turned the big 32. I'm obviously kidding. Happy birthday, Rum Ham. Happy birthday to both of you. And EG Elite has a response. You got to hit the thing first.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Very generous. He takes the joke in stride. Obviously, I was joking. We love it, EG Elite, the $10 super chat tip. I will play it for her and allow her to reassess. Thanks for making my morning, guys. Thank you for spending your morning with us. And thank you for playing it for her and ask her again which Justin is the angrier one. Although I will admit, I do think that Yada Yada King is my king kind of got me on that one. I did sound pretty angry about being called angry. Graver is doing math in real time. The show's off the
rails. July? Are we July 4th thing? Is this the 4th?
Are you all 4th of July, baby?
Yeah, I think that's the implication here.
All your parents are super patriotic and super romantic. They set off fireworks on the 4th of July by setting off some fireworks in the bedroom. That's precisely what happened.
Happy extremely late birthday, Robista, who turned 40 in December. And happy birthday to Kitty Cat Jones's cat a week and a half late. You know, we can just make the rest of this stream the birthday wishes. Drop your birthday in the chat. We'll wish you either a late or an early happy birthday. No, Justin, this is going to be a really fun night. I'm super excited to just see it all unfold. We are going to go on the clock. We are going to go live tonight when the New York Jets are on the clock. We all know Fernando Mendoza's going number one. There's no drama there. And here's what I'm thinking about and debating, Justin, and I want you, this is real time. I've never brought this up to you before, so we'll see what you think of the idea. I think, the NFL is super strict about broadcasting the draft on another platform. They are so strict about it that when I was an NFL media employee, we did our own draft live stream show for 2021 NFL draft, no, 2021, I can't remember. I think 2022. We did a live stream during the NFL draft. We worked for the NFL. We were the NFL. We were on the NFL's YouTube channel, and they would not let us watch along by having the draft actually playing alongside our pod hosts. They said you can't do that because we don't want to take anybody away from the actual draft broadcast. So I set that up to say the NFL is very strict about where the draft gets broadcast. If we try to make it like a picture-in-picture thing, Justin, where our audience doesn't have to watch us on a separate screen, like they can literally watch us and watch the draft, we will get hit with a demonetization copyright flag so fast, they might block the video straight up on YouTube.
Yeah.
But Justin, how cool would it be if we could get away with like 8 seconds of it? Where I literally just put it on the screen for that very brief moment where Roger Goodell is naming who the Titans pick. We could risk a demonetization. I think if we keep it really short, we won't get blocked off the internet. You guys might have to come through with the super chats if we do get demonetized. We'll let you know. But would that be enough of an addition to the stream, to people's ability to replay it after the fact, if we actually get to see Goodell read off the pick on our show? Or is that not worth the potential?
I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's necessary. Like, people who are going to be with us, I'm assuming they'll have their computers or laptops like in front of their televisions watching the draft still. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think it's worth it. And everyone's saying not worth it. It's not worth it.
People say not worth it. All right, good. This is why I wanted to bring it up here, because I was just going to do it.
I don't think it's worth it. I would say no, personally. I think we're fine to just, you know, people are going to be watching anyway.
So here's the thing. Shane Alvarado recommends just have the sound playing, maybe low in the background. They will catch that. Because I thought about that too.
Either, yeah.
It's just having the sound like as a background to you and I, but they will catch that too. Also, Justin doesn't wear headphones when we podcast. So if I have a sound playing out of my computer the whole time, you're not even going to hear Justin talking. So yeah, everyone's saying that they'll have us on a second screen. That's fine. What are we not doing? Okay, the Titans are not taking Sonny Styles at 4. They might take him in a trade down. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I'm hearing. The Titans are not taking an offensive tackle at 4. There's only 3 options for the Titans at 4. Edge rusher, Jeremiah Love, or trade down. That's it.
Oh.
If the Titans trade down, everything opens up. This is a great comment from Two Tone Blue.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil it. We're not spoiling picks. We're not doing that.
We will not. And if you're spoiling in our chat, I will boot you tonight. We were not standing for that. I'm here for the drama, the theatrics, the anticipation, the build-up.
I love the moment when it's announced, the anticipation. No spoiling picks.
No spoiling picks. We won't do it here. If you come into our chat tonight and start spoiling picks, I will kick you faster than you can type out the next one. Can you see a trade down and then going back up to 7 because Commanders need picks? I could. I actually almost mocked this at one point, but then I decided I'm not going to be crazy. I don't think the Titans are the most likely trade down team in the top 5, in the top 10. I just think that the board has to fall a very specific way for the Titans trade down options to really open up. And that would include probably Reese going 2, Love going 3. Or Maui Noah going 3, or Styles going 3. I don't think those two things are going to happen. I think for the Cardinals, it's Edge, Love, or trade down, just like it is for the Titans, Edge, Love, or trade down. But if the Titans do move to like 12 with the Cowboys, let's say Love goes 3, Cowboys trade to 4, or Chiefs trade to 9, or Rams trade to 4, like Connor Orr predicted, and the Titans go all the way back to 13, then I could see, depending on how much they future capital they get or current, the 2026 capital, I could see them trying to come back up to 7 to make sure they get one of those impact players.
This comment from Atlas.
What's it say, Justin?
I think Spizzle and Gary could get a pass if they tip the pick. Yeah, Spizzle can do whatever he wants. Spizzle's my adopted father, the way I see it nowadays. So yeah, Spizzle's allowed to do whatever he likes. Gary as well. They can tip the picks if they'd like.
Yeah, I'm with that. I am with that. If Bailey is on the board and the Titans trade out, I'm rioting.
Oh, wow.
Hey, if Bailey's on the board and the Titans trade out, I'm throwing a party. So you and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Denver really doesn't Shane. Want him.
I don't. I really don't. Justin, we should close this pretty soon. We're going to be back tonight. We'll have plenty of time to talk to you guys while we wait for picks to be announced. Let's end it here. Who do you think is going to? Is it Bailey or Reese? Because again, I think this will have massive implications on whether or not the Titans can actually land Jeremiah Love. I think we all need to root for Bailey to go 2. Is that what you think is going to happen?
I'm still so torn, but yes, I have to pick one. I think the Jets are taking Bailey at 2.
And I have Reese in my final mock. And I would like it to be Bailey so that the Titans can end up with Love. But maybe I'm reading too much into the signals and like the player interviews and stuff. It really does sound like, based on the way Arville Reese and David Bailey spoke about the teams that they're in consideration for and the way the reporters have spoke about the players, it really sounds like the Jets told Arville Reese, here's how we plan to use you. David Bailey was asked about his meeting with the Jets and he said, yeah, I talked to Monty. Monty, the GM of the Cardinals.
Yeah, it sure made it feel like we're going Reese.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it's... I still think at the end of the day that what we all thought 3 weeks ago, Mendoza, Reese, Bailey, Love, Styles, I still think that's how the top 5 plays out. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I said this a couple weeks ago on our show, Justin. What you hear in February coming out of the combine is oftentimes more accurate than what you hear the week of the draft. Now, that's not to say some of the stuff coming out isn't real. I think Jermaine McCoy, who could have been a top 10 pick if he had a healthy knee, I think he's fallen. He might fall out of the first round. I think somebody takes a chance on him in the late 20s. I think that's real. I think there are definitely real things. I think the Cardinals are actually considering Jeremiah Love. I don't know if they will actually take him. I think Michael Bidwill, the owner of the Cardinals, and I think that this could explain the late reporting on the Cardinals stuff. I think Monty and his team have gone through the process and were setting their final board. And the aloof owner comes in at the last minute. It's like, all right, what are we thinking? Tell me our plan for the draft. And they present the plan. And the owner says, well, what about the running back from Notre Dame? And GM says, well, you know, we really value premium positions. Like, we're not going to invest that much draft capital and the salary cap that comes with it and that kind of position. And Bidwell's like, yeah, but that guy's going to sell tickets, right? That guy's going to be electric, right? Isn't he a great player? And Monty's like, yeah, I mean, he is a great player. It's just like philosophically. And Bidwell's like, I don't care. I want him. Put him at the top of our board. That could happen. That could be how it happened and why the reporting came out so late. Ultimately, I think they will go with the premium position. And I think they will take the edge. And ultimately, I think the Titans will take Love. That's my final prediction for the top five. I think everything we thought months ago is what's going to happen.
I think that's probably a good bet. I think they say a lot of times the more accurate mock drafts are delivered in February than they are in April, which is crazy because we kind of walk ourselves into a tailspin and convince ourselves and believe these smoke screens. It does get pretty outrageous.
Yeah. Any final questions? This is a good one. ESPN or NFL Network? Maybe I'm biased because I used to work there, but I always go NFL Network. I like Daniel Jeremiah the best. I love Rich Eisen. Actually, shoot, is Rich Eisen going to be on the network now that ESPN owns the network?
Yeah, good question.
Are they going to steal Rich for their broadcast? I guess we'll find out tonight. I've always been an NFL Network guy, and last year solidified it for me. Last year, ESPN was the ones who wouldn't shut the heck up about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter right after Cam Ward was selected.
Yeah.
The NFL Network, and everyone was like, oh, as soon as the pick was made, they cut. They're still talking about Shedeur and blah, 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 blah. And then the trade happens, they're talking about Hunter. If you watched the NFL Network broadcast, that didn't happen as quickly. They actually did give the Titans a little bit more runway before the trade came down. ESPN, it was like, oh, I can't believe it's not Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And then, oh, the Jags have traded. You know, so I prefer the network.
Me too. I'm with you. I'll be doing NFL Network personally.
Yeah. Maybe we should have one on each, though, so that we can, like, cover any reactions. Now, you know what? That's how we do Heed the Call. Is one of us is going to watch the network. One of us is going to watch ESPN so that we can cover all our bases. Yeah, we did talk about this.
2020. I didn't know that. Did they say the relationship has been going on since 2020?
No, it's been going on since, like, 2018, bro. Come on. I think this is just reference to, like, people tweeting at Diana, are you sleeping with Vrabel, in the year 2020.
Oh.
I do think it's been going on for a long, long time, but we don't need to comment on that. All right. That's it, right?
Going to do it?
Anything else? I don't know. We got 224 people in here. That's our highest peak of the week. Should we just end it when we got this many people in the chat?
You can stay around a little bit if you'd like.
All right. Let's take one more break, and then we'll close this thing out. All right, we're back. Thanks for continuing to watch. Justin, any chance you want to just, like, fly through this, or is that going to take too long?
I mean, if we actually fly through it, we're not exactly known to fly through things.
That's fair. All right, we're starting with Mendoza. That is obvious. Okay, here at the Jets, it's between Bailey and Reese. I think it's Reese. You think it's Bailey. I think it could impact what happens next. Let's go with the books. Let's go with your final mock that you published late last night. You can read it on NFL Draft on SI right now. And let's go with Bailey here. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. This is, like, the inflection point of all inflection points. What do the Cardinals do at 3? I think the most likely, and it might be crazy to say this is the most likely, I think the most likely thing is they trade out of this pick. And do you agree with that?
Yes, trade down. Do the Saints.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I think the Saints are the most likely at this point, as we get a super chat from Martin, Texas. I think Giants could jump up to 4 to not allow anyone else jumping up in front of them for Styles.
Titans would love ideal. This.
Yeah, I would do that. If they're coming for Styles. If they're coming for Love, I don't know if the Titans would accept that. All right, let's trade with the Saints. I do think it's either Saints or Chiefs. I think the Cowboys don't feel in it right now. And the Rams could do something crazy, but this is a little too crazy for us to just project as most likely. So let's go Saints. They give up 8 and 42. That'll get the deal done. Cards might have to throw back a fourth to really even it out, but you're coming up for the number 3 pick. I think you got to pay a premium. Whatever. The exact parameters do not matter. Saints take Reese, correct?
Yes.
Which leaves the Titans to decide between Love, Styles, trade down. I think it's a no-brainer here. Titans probably do work the phones just to see, because, you know, they'd always like to pick up extra assets. But I think they would take Love in this scenario. Giants, I'm still going Styles. I know there's a lot of smoke to Downs. I know there's a lot of smoke on Tyson. Here's something I heard. I can't remember who said this. Was it Josh Norris's pod or somebody else? The only person to go meet with Tyson, to go to the ASU private workout on the 19th or the 17th, and the only person to go have dinner with him was Joe Shane. Harbaugh's making the decisions. If the Giants really loved Tyson, wouldn't they send Harbaugh to meet with him? And here's a second factor. The Giants had a pre-draft dinner with J.J. McCarthy without having any interest in drafting him, purely as a smokescreen. They had dinner with J.J. McCarthy. It's like right out of the Joe Shane playbook. Let's divert attention by going to have dinner with a prospect that we're not actually that into. And Joe's like, I'll do it. John, you stay here and work the board. I'm going to go meet with Tyson and put the smokescreen out there. I don't think the Giants are going Tyson at five, but I could see Styles or Downs here. Who did you put in your final mock?
I've got Styles.
Styles, great. That's how I have it, and I am glad we agree. Browns at six. Okay, I have the Browns trading down from this pick to the Saints pick at eight. Obviously, we can't do that. I think the Browns, if the Saints aren't coming up, would stick and pick. And I think it's Fano.
I think the Chiefs come up here.
For who?
For Tate.
Okay, the Chiefs?
Yeah. Tate or Bane. Pick your choice, but I think it's Tate.
I think if the Chiefs come up, it'd be for Bane or Malinoa because of Andy Reid being hell-bent on fixing the O-line. I don't have the Chiefs taking O-line in the first round on either of their two picks. Do you think if the Browns stick and pick that they would take Tate over the tackles? Because what I've read recently is Browns are going tackle if they stick and pick here.
I think they would take tackle, but I think you choose, but I think they would take tackle or trade. Those are the two things that I think are going to happen.
Let's give them Fano here. It might be a little bit of a reach, but we'll let the player who would go sixth fall and we'll take Fano here. So if they do end up trading, we can still get the player pick, the team player pairing, correct? So we'll go Fano there, which puts the Commanders on the board at seven. If the Commanders stick and pick here and Tate is on the board, I think the Commanders take Tate. If he's not on the board, I think they take Delane or try to trade out.
Yeah, me too. I think they go, if the scenario plays out this way, I think they go Tate.
So we take Tate there, and now the Cardinals are back on the clock. Malinoa is a foregone conclusion.
Yep.
Chiefs, Bane falls to them. They could also take Delane, given the secondary players they lost this offseason.
I think they go Bane. If they stay at nine and he's there, yeah.
I do too.
You can do what you want. The Giants, you just spent the whole spiel. I think Jordan Tyson at 10.
If Tyson makes it to 10, I think that's where the Giants have him. I could also see them going Styles and Downs. And that's what I have in my final mock, because I have him taking Downs here. But I also have Tyson going earlier than pick 10, so they wouldn't be able to in my version. So I do think if Tyson makes it to 10, which I think honestly is kind of I think somebody's going to trade up for Tyson. I have the Jets doing it. I could see the Saints taking Tyson if they don't trade up to 3. I could see the Commanders taking Tyson. I could see the Rams coming up for Tyson. I think Tyson's going to have a lot of interested suitors, and I do think he's going to end up in the top 10. We haven't put him there yet, so let's put him at 10. Which takes us to the Dolphins, who I've been pretty set on the Dolphins going either O-line or Delane. Like, I think they go premium position here, which would be tackle or corner.
Well, you took the tackles off the board. I have them getting Fano here, but you had them going 6. I'd probably go, if this played out, I think they'd go Delane.
Me too. I think Jeff Hafley, John Eric Sullivan come from the Packers. They're a premium position in the first round kind of team. The Packers never draft wide receivers, so everybody's projecting Miami to take a wide receiver at pick 30. I'm not, because the only time John Eric Sullivan's Packers ever took a receiver in the first round was Matthew Golden, and that didn't really work out. So I don't think that they are going
to
take
a receiver. I mean, 30's close to a second round pick. I think there's a good receiver there. They'd consider it, but
they might consider it. I don't think I have any of the top 6 falling to them at 30 anyway. Okay, Cowboys, Downs if he's on the board.
Yeah, Downs for sure.
Rams, are we going to go chalk here and take Lemon? Or, you know what? Sometimes I get bummed out and sometimes I get reassured. I have the Rams taking Monroe Freeling here, which I think is kind of off the wall crazy a little bit, but makes sense from a football team building standpoint. Then I'm watching Josh Norris's final mock draft last night. But keep in mind, mine published yesterday morning. Josh Norris' final mock draft last night, he has the Rams taking Monroe Freeling. I'm like, here I thought I was the only one who did that. And now everyone's going to think I copied Josh, because Josh is such a noteworthy.
I don't think that's going to happen, but you could go for it if you'd like, but I don't think
so. We could stick to chalk. I think sticking to chalk when we do these scenarios is better, because it's more what everyone's expecting. And we're not trying to just throw a wrench into everything here. Even if that's going to happen, we're not going to predict the wrench right now, right?
No.
So let's go with Lemon here. Ravens at 14. Again, the chalk is Ione. Is that too obvious now?
I don't think maybe it's obvious now. He's the best player on the board, fills a position of need. They like big, tough guys. They run the ball a lot.
and it's what I have in my final mock. Okay, here are the Bucks. I liked what you did because I did an iteration of my final mock where I had Reuben Bain falling all the way to 15, and the Bucks are the team that stopped the fall. We didn't get that far in this one. I do think if like Bain is dropping, 15 is his floor. I think if Bain makes it to 15, he'd be the top of the Bucks board. I have this pick being between Kenyon Sadiq and an edge. That edge could be Keldrick Falk, Akeem Mezidor. I think the Bucks take Sadiq because of Zach Robinson and him wanting to run a lot of 12 personnel and them really only having one tight end. But I could hear the argument for an edge. What did you do in your final mock?
I would go edge. I had Bain. I'd probably go Mezidor here.
Let's do it. Jets at 16. I think this is a foregone conclusion. It will be a receiver. The question is which receiver?
Yeah, that's tough. I think this could be Denzel Boston, to be honest
with
you.
That's what I was going to say.
I think this could be Denzel Boston.
They've done a lot of work on him. He adds a good complement to Wilson as like a true physical, but big-bodied outside
receiver. And Lemon's not that. Concepcion, Cooper, none of them are that. Just Boston.
Yeah, I think they do like Cooper a lot too, because Garrett Wilson's not a great yak threat. He's a great receiver.
True.
Omar Cooper would add another dimension. Omar Cooper's yards after catch per route run is like one of the most elite numbers we've ever seen from a prospect. So I could see them going Cooper. Let's do Cooper just because he's like higher on the consensus board. Sure. I do like Boston as a shout potential, but just for the sake of keeping it sort of consensus here. Lions, Proctor, or if Monroe Freeling falls to 17, do they take Freeling?
I've got them trading up for Proctor in my mock, but I had Freeling off the board already. I think Freeling's the better prospect, like consensus-wise, so I'd probably go Freeling.
That's where I feel. I had Freeling, like I said, going 13 to the Rams, so I have the Lions taking Proctor, but if Freeling falls to them, I think he'd be higher on their board. Vikings, we're going to stick with the absolute most ridiculous amount of chalk I've ever seen on a pick this late into the first round and take Thinneman to the Vikings at 18.
Yeah, it's what everyone's expecting to happen.
Panthers at 19. I think that offensive tackle is in play if Freeling makes it there because of what's going on with Ike Ekwonu, and they signed Rashid Walker to a one-year deal, but they need a left tackle of the future. I also think Casey Concepcion, if he falls to 19, is legitimately in play. I also think Emmanuel McNeil Warren is in play. Kenyon Sadiq, everyone says 19 is his floor, and I've kind of taken that to heart. And Jermaine McCoy, I've seen a few people mock him here as like a just take the best player available and worry about his knee later. What do you have the Panthers doing at 19?
I think if Sadiq's on the board, they go Sadiq. I did have them ending the McCoy fall here, but I think we've got to end the Sadiq fall.
Yeah, I have them taking Casey Concepcion, just to let everyone know what I'm doing. But if Sadiq is there, I think he is the pick, so let's do that. Cowboys at 20. I've heard Jermaine McCoy is completely off their board, so we don't even need to look at him. They already took a secondary player in Caleb Downs. They might look at Keldrick Falk. There's a lot of points connecting them to Falk here. And if they already took Downs, then I could see them not going secondary again and taking the edge. What do you have them doing?
Probably one of the edges. I don't think they go secondary again. Do we go Keldrick Falk here then?
I think so. Steelers at 21. Tons of smoke around Pittsburgh taking a wide receiver. I just absolutely think that would be the dumbest use of resources for this team. Broderick Jones had a setback. They need a left tackle. They just traded for Michael Pittman Jr. and signed him to an extension 1 year after trading for DK Metcalf and signing him to an extension. How many receivers does this team need? They're not taking one in the first round. I think it's crazy. I could see Emmanuel McNeil Warren as a potential BPA. I could see Caden Proctor if he's still on the board at 21. In fact, I think they would sprint the Caden Proctor pick to the podium if he makes it to them at 21, given what they're dealing with Broderick Jones. So is that cool with you if we take Caden Proctor here?
Yeah, I think the issue with Jones means the Steelers are going offensive tackle.
And if Proctor's gone, I have them taking Blake Miller in my mock. So I think they have to. I think they've bottlenecked themselves into needing to take a tackle there. Chargers at 22, one of the hardest teams to place. I could see a lot of smoke around them going D-line, a lot of smoke around them just reaching for their biggest need, which is a guard. But if Emmanuel McNeil Warren was on the board here, I could see them not wanting to pass on a player like that. I could also see them taking Casey Concepcion if he makes it here, even though they feel good about Trey Harris, just as a BPA scenario. This is one of the hardest teams to project for me.
Yeah, definitely. I've got an edge rusher here, but we've taken them all off the board.
TJ Parker is here. I don't think TJ Parker is a first rounder, but he might be. Cassius Howell is still here. Did he go Peter Woods and just... Is that who you're thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking Malachi Lawrence.
Malachi Lawrence at 22?
I mean, I don't like what you've done with some of these other picks, to be blunt with you. That's part of the reason why this one becomes really hard.
Oh my goodness gracious. Daylan, had to miss the first hour. Glad to catch the back half. Can't wait for tonight. Love at 4. Tighten up. Daylan, thank you for the donation super chat. We really appreciate it. I think this is a really tough one. I don't think they would take... I don't think Malachi Lawrence makes it into the first round, to be totally honest. I mean, he might, but if he does, it's like late 20s. I think they might go Peter Woods. Just give me that Jim Harbaugh guy, the big run stuffer that they need up front.
I mean,
that's what I'm doing.
They do need a big run stopper, so I could see that.
I also think they're a prime trade back candidate if somebody wants to come to 22, because their biggest need and the thing they want most is interior offensive line, and it's just a reach to do that at 22. Eagles at 23. All right, everybody is on two pads with this one, I think. Or three pads, I should say. Replace Jalen Phillips at edge. Get a succession plan for Lane Johnson at right tackle. Or take a receiver because they're going to trade A.J. Brown. I have them taking Denzel Boston here because to me, he's the biggest like-for-like physical outside receiver replacement for Brown. I'd hear the argument for tackle. Blake Miller's on the board. He's a left tackle?
He's a right tackle.
Blake Miller's a right. Sorry. Confused. I mean, I could see them taking Max Ihinechor as well, a right tackle, a more developmental type of right tackle who possibly has a higher ceiling, and they do have Lane Johnson for another year, and it does feel very Eaglesy to just take Max Ihinechor here. What do you have?
I've got them going tackle. I think you make a solid argument for Boston, you know, based on trading AJ Brown, but I think they go tackle.
Ihinechor or Miller?
Ooh, I think they'd go Blake Miller.
Bang, Blake Miller it is. Browns at 24. Haven't taken a receiver yet. Took Spencer Fano. Concepcion and Boston both on the board. I think they would take Concepcion if he makes it to them at 24.
I mean, I think they also need big physical opposite Jerry Jeudy, but I don't mind you going Concepcion.
I think Concepcion's a better player and is going to go higher, and we would be foolish to not just get him out of there so that somebody later doesn't end up with him that doesn't even have a chance at him for real. Bears, highly connected to Emmanuel McNeil Warren. They lost Kevin Byard this offseason. They need a safety replacement. Also, they were, you know, very in on Max Crosby. They didn't do anything else at edge. They need an edge. Is it too early for TJ Parker? Is Cassius Howell in play? I think if McNeil Warren is there at 25 and the edge rushers like Falk and Mesidor are gone, the Bears would take McNeil Warren. I have them taking Akeem Mesidor because I actually have him sliding to this spot. What do you have the Bears doing?
I've got him going with Emmanuel McNeil Warren. They lost a lot of safety snaps. Kevin Byard. They also lost someone else. Jaquan Brisker. I know they brought in Kobe Bryant, but I do think they need a safety.
All right, Bills at 26, another prime trade-out spot we talked about at the top of the show. I could see them, if they stick and pick, taking C.J. Allen. I could see them picking Caden McDonald here, especially if Peter Woods is gone. I don't think they take an edge here, but Cassius Howell, T.J. Parker are certainly in play. They could also be the team that stops Jermaine McCoy's fall. They could also take Denzel Boston if he makes it here. They've only done two top 30 visits with receivers, though, and those two were Casey Concepcion and Chris Bell. So maybe they're targeting Chris Bell with their next pick at 91. I don't know if he makes it that far, but
I'm convinced they're trading out of this pick. I mean, you brought up a good point, but if we're just going to have the, like, why they might not be able to, but if we're just going to have them stick and pick here, I honestly think they could just take Jacob Rodriguez.
I'm giving them the Cardinals pick here.
I think this is the Ty Simpson spot.
I do too. What's the math here?
What do you mean?
Cardinals give up 2 and 3 for one. For one, that makes sense. I mean, Bills pick up an extra third.
Bills don't have like a fourth or fifth they could throw in?
They could, but I mean, you're coming back into the first round, that fifth-year option. I think the 30 points, you got to pay a little bit of a premium. And in our version here, the Cardinals traded down, and they have the Saints' second-round pick. So it's they're not actually going to go all the way to the fourth round without a pick. The Saints do, or the Cardinals do have that other Saints pick here. So it's just not showing up in this simulator. Let's do it. Ty Simpson, Cardinals, 26. I do think the Cardinals are coming back somewhere between 26 and 29 to take Ty Simpson. I don't think the Niners at 27 will trade with them. I don't think the Seahawks at 32 will trade with them, because why would you want to give your division rival their potential franchise quarterback unless you've scouted the quarterback yourself and determined they're not good enough, and then you're like, hey, yeah, you want this guy, come take him, loser. We'll set your franchise back 3 years. But I don't, like, why would the Seahawks or the Niners be doing that kind of work on Ty Simpson anyway? So I don't think they'll be trading with their division rival. That leaves the Niners at 27. They did get Trent Williams back under contract for 2 more years. So their, like, future left tackle issue is not as much of an issue. I do think they could take a receiver. I think they could take Ihene Achor. I think they could take Cassius Howell. They could go a lot of directions. I actually have them being the landing spot for Emmanuel McNeil Warren in my mock.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I want to give Denzel Boston, but they signed Mike Evans, right? Like, it's, I know Evans not going to be there for long, but
that could be even an indication that, like, get Boston in here. We don't need him to contribute. Like, they've done this a few times. Brandon Ayuk, you know, was on Shanahan's bad list as a rookie, didn't play a ton. Ricky Pearsall got shot as a rookie, didn't play a ton. Could they have another first-rounder come in that maybe doesn't play a ton, but they really like and they want to develop into a future starter while they have Mike Evans? And then, you know, in week 9, when Mike Evans' hamstring falls off his leg, they're ready to insert Boston into the starting lineup.
I like going Boston here because I kind of want to end his slide, to be honest with
Same.
You.
Same. Yeah. BPA, take the best player available, and that is Boston. Texans at 28. We talked about what we thought they might do. I think Caleb Lomu is very much in play here, as I think is Caden McDonald. And Caleb Banks, to me, if there's a team that's going to take a chance on Banks at this spot, it would be the Texans. Not for any real reason other than, like, they can afford to miss on this pick because their team is really, really good. They have no real holes on their roster. And if they can add a penetrating defensive tackle to that Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter group, it would be overwhelming. I don't know how much better they can even be, but if you insert somebody like Caleb Banks and he's healthy, that takes them to an even another level, which is why I was projecting that originally. I've backed off that because I have the Texans actually trading out for the Cardinals here. What do you have the Tech? Do you have the Texans taking Lomu?
I do. I think they're going to try to strengthen the O-line, but you could make the argument for Caden McDonald or Caleb Banks. They can go in so many directions.
I agree, because they don't really have any roster holes, and it's kind of a scary spot to be as a Titans fan, where we're literally just praying that CJ Stroud continues to regress, or else the Texans are going to be a problem. All right, I gave him Lomu. 29, Chiefs. Now, here's my big brain theory, Justin. The Chiefs can sit here at 29 and take a player that was being mocked to them at pick 9 in February in Jermaine McCoy. Yeah, he's got a degenerative knee issue. Is there a team in this league more prepared to deal with a very talented cornerback with a degenerative knee issue than the Chiefs? The Chiefs, who have drafted 3 corners in the first round or around that part of the draft or later. Not all of them are first rounders. But 3 corners they've had for their rookie contract that they traded at the end of the rookie contract before paying them a second contract and then went out and found their replacement in the draft. From Marcus Peters to L'Jarius Sneed to Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs keep doing this. They get a corner in here. They get 4 or 5 elite years out of them. Maybe they pick up the fifth-year option. Maybe they trade them before that point. And then they draft another guy. So are they worried about Jermaine McCoy's knee holding up for 10 years? Or do they want to get 5 great years out of him? Do they know how to manage a cornerback dealing with a knee issue? And they did it with L'Jarius Sneed for 4 years. Yes, they do. Could they draft Jermaine McCoy, get the most out of him for 4 or 5 years, and then look to trade him and draft his replacement? Yes, they could. Big brain theory is the Chiefs sit at 29 and let Jermaine McCoy fall right into their lap and get what could be the most talented cornerback in this draft.
Don't hate it.
Bang. Done. All right. Dolphins at 30. I actually have the Dolphins taking 2 corners. I don't know if you've looked at their depth chart, Justin.
I know it's but two corners?
You could say this about almost any skill position on the Dolphins roster. Like Malik Washington is their wide receiver one right now.
Yeah,
do you know who their cornerback one is?
No.
Daryl Baker Jr.
No way.
Do you know who their cornerback two is?
Who?
I can't remember his name. He's a guy who played like 100 total defensive snaps last year, a former seventh round pick who graded out with a 42.2 grade on PFF last year on his 100 snaps. That's their second best. That's their number two corner right now. So even if they take Mansoor Delane in the at pick 11, I could see them doubling down because they have just the worst guys there right now.
That's pretty terrible.
Storm Duck Iron Grids is pointing out to me. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't know if he's their number two corner. Anyway, I could see them taking another corner. We don't have to do that, especially if you have them going in a different direction here. But I have them taking Delane and Hood. Juju Brents, these guys have been bad though, right? Like they busted
Brents
out.
Yeah, Brents got cut, didn't he?
He was a second round pick who got cut. What do you have the Dolphins doing at 30? Do you have them taking Boston or something?
I have them taking a wide receiver, yeah.
So we didn't let any receivers make it here.
No.
I could see them going with a TJ Parker, a Caleb Banks in-state, or a Cassius Howell, but I also think that John Eric Sullivan is going to have, you know, thresholds like the Packers have, that Chad Brinker has, where he's not going to take Cassius Howell because of his arm length. And maybe he doesn't take TJ Parker because of the production concerns of last season, or maybe he does. Maybe he's not worried about that.
This is a nightmare for them. I think Colton Hood, probably.
Thank you. 31, Patriots. I've had them taking a tackle the whole time. If it's not Blake Miller, I've had it be Max Ihinatior, and maybe that's because Mike Vrabel was, you know, hitting him in the chest at the ASU Pro Day, or maybe it's because they actually need a right tackle and they would just take him here. I don't know.
Looks like Mike Vrabel was doing something. I'm going to stop. Yeah, I would go Ihinatior here. Yeah, tackle.
I think it's either Ihinatior, Parker, or Howell. Maybe Lawrence, Malachi Lawrence. But I think they go protect their young quarterback, Max Ihinatior. And finally, the Seahawks. I've explained this already. I have the Jags trading into this spot to take Jadarian Price.
Do it.
Okay. Screw it. It doesn't matter. This system is a little funky because when you trade up for a team that doesn't have a first-round pick, it doesn't actually replace the team here, so it still says Seattle Seahawks, even though it says the pick was traded. Jadarian Price, final pick. All right, we did it. We went through the entire first round, what we think is going to happen, and what's interesting about this, Justin, is that now I lost it. Oh, I clicked this button. Oh, here we go. Now we can see who's still on the board heading into the second round, which is where the Titans will be this time tomorrow. I think there's enough guys here that the Titans could feel good about trading out of 35 or having a great option at 35. You got Pregnon and Besantis. We have them both making it here. I think Chris Johnson could end up being best player available. I have Chris Johnson going number 20 to Dallas.
I've actually got him going early as well, quite early.
Falling to 12. So Chris Johnson, I could see the Dolphins taking him at 32 over Colton Hood if they go a different direction there. Malachi Lawrence could be there for the Titans at 35. Not the worst idea. Jacob Rodriguez could sneak into the first round. Yes, Iron Grids. Jacob Rodriguez may be long gone. But if he's there at 35, like that almost feels more likely to me than the Titans taking Sonny Styles at 4. Like that Robert Saleh would be like, give me the second round linebacker who is reportedly extremely bright. Extremely bright on the field diagnosing. He's a former high school quarterback, and he kind of sees the game that way from the middle linebacker spot. I love Jacob Rodriguez as a prospect. I'd actually be thrilled if they took him at 35.
He's so good. I actually would be too, because I think he's going to be an elite football player. So I know they need for Pregnon, as Angry Fita says. Like, they need an interior lineman bad. But Jacob Rodriguez,
I'd be thrilled with an interior lineman. Besantis, Pregnon, Keelan Rutledge, if they want to make him the 35th pick, I'd be thrilled with that. I'd be thrilled with Jacob Rodriguez. I'd be thrilled if they took a chance on a falling receiver if all six of these guys that we have going in the first round don't.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a good option here. I don't want them to take a second round edge. I don't want them to take Zion Young or Malachi Lawrence or TJ Parker. Like, these guys just feel like they have capped ceilings to me. I'm not interested in taking one of those guys. Justin, the view count has started to drop off. I know you didn't want this to go as long as it has, and I apologize, but we can bring this thing to a close now if you are interested in doing so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got so much to do. I told them no longer than 45 minutes, and here we are. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. We will see you guys tonight. We're going to stream live, what, around 8:15-ish, give or take?
I think so.
8:10, 8:15 Eastern, as soon as the Jets come on the clock. We will be here. Appreciate you guys. Tune in tonight. Cannot wait to react to the pick live. Until tonight, when you join us, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.